I got to say, we were talking, you know, for those of you who weren't here this weekend, I did the weekend services. I had a blast. It was awesome. It was cool because I got to hear a couple booyahs. I think Shay was telling us she was back in the music room with all the music ministry, and she was listening, and she was like, booyah, and everybody was like, what? I'm like, inside joke. Some of you guys are like, Pastor, you got to understand. I'm like, all right, here we go. See, we're in shift. We're the young adults. We can have fun. So if you feel like saying, sometimes you go to church, you hear, amen, amen. You can say booyah if you want. It's all right. That point hit home for you. You can be like, booyah, booyah. Take your little, you know, whatever it is, okay? So I'm just letting you know, you're free to say booyah. All right. You're like, Pastor Luke, you're silly. Whatever. Okay. Let's get into the Word of God tonight. I'm excited for what God's got for you, and we got a lot of stuff that we got to cover tonight. And I tell you what, you're going to be blessed. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Ephesians in the second chapter. The title of tonight's message, we're going to do things a little bit different tonight. As a matter of fact, I got like a half message, half video. You're like, what? I'll tell you what, we got something special for you. I saw this. And I said, oh my gosh, we got to get this. We got to get this into the lives of the young adults. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. Man, my Bible is falling apart more and more each day. I'm super sad. Look at this. Let me show you. I couldn't show everybody on the weekend. Where are we at? I'm in Ephesians. Look at this. Like, I don't know if you can see that, but like, all my whole thing's falling apart. I got to go take it to somebody to get it fixed because it's too much. It's too much of an, look at this. Okay, there you go. Here's a better example. You can't, if you're listening to this on the podcast later on, look at that. That's that. And you're like, Pastor Luke, you're messing your Bible up. I know, but I'm just trying to show you. Anyways, Ephesians. You're like, what? All right, Ephesians, the second chapter. All that for what? Ephesians, the second chapter. We're going to look at the 10th verse. The title of tonight's message is called A Master Plan for a Masterpiece. Booyah. All right, thank you. All righty, so we're talking about a master plan for a masterpiece. And how many of you guys know who Michelangelo is? Not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Michelangelo, but like, you're like, what? No, he had the nunchucks. No. The old school Michelangelo. Anybody know who Michelangelo is? Have you ever heard of the Sistine Chapel? You ever seen that picture of man touching up to the finger of God? Man's got this real lazy, like, pose. And then, you know, like, they're just like, they're touching fingers, like E.T. kind of thing on the roof. Well, Michelangelo also carved. How many of you guys have heard of Leonardo da Vinci? Not DiCaprio. All right, these guys were famous artists of their time. As a matter of fact, all of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were actually all famous artists. So if you know a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, then I guess you know one of the famous artists. So you're like, I know who Donatello was. Well, okay, he was an artist too, but he was also the Purple Ninja Turtle. Well, we're going to talk, I want to talk to you real quick about Michelangelo. Michelangelo, I believe it's Michelangelo, carved David, right? That's Michelangelo. All right, see, none of you guys know, so we'll just say that's fact, okay? Michelangelo, he painted, but these guys also carved out of marble. And they would take these big, giant, huge slabs of solid marble. And they would take a hammer, and they would take a chisel. They would take a couple of other tools because, you know, they didn't have jackhammers back in the day. They didn't have hydraulics back in the day. They didn't have, like, you know, power grinders and all that stuff back in the day. They didn't do cast moldings. They took a big old hunk of granite, a big old hunk of marble, and they began to just chisel away at it. Ding, 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 ding. And all of a sudden, years later, took these guys years to do these things. Years later, all of a sudden would come these statues, these great, magnificent statues. There's one I think it's Michelangelo's most famous for is David. And it's this pose of David in this grandeur, you know, King David we're talking about, and this great grand slab of marble. Well, that stuff doesn't happen overnight. They had to have a plan for that. They didn't just start ding, 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 carving away and looking at it, but they had a plan for it. They knew when they were getting into what they were starting to carve into. They had an idea. They had an idea of a pose. They had an idea of the muscle structure of man. They would draw it out. They had a master plan for their masterpiece. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about each and every one of us in our lives. Do you know that you are a masterpiece? Do you know that the Bible says that you are a masterpiece? You're not junk. You're not rubbish. You're not just here by accident. You're not just some person that came to existence because two people got together and all of a sudden here you are magically. No, you are a masterpiece. The Bible says that man was formed after God's own image. So here we are, the image of God, the representation of God in human flesh. So first off, our bodies, the way we look, you can imagine yourself, whether or not you like the way you look when you see yourself in a mirror, give yourself that Hercules pose. Because you are a masterpiece. Now, girls, Hercules pose may not work for you, But it's okay. You can get yourself that little feminine pose that, like, I'm not going to do it because you know what I mean. You know where I'm. No, no, you don't. So, you are a masterpiece. And today I want to talk to you about God's master plan for his masterpiece. And that's you. That's you and I. All of us together. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. It doesn't matter what your self-esteem says. It doesn't matter if you walk with a limp or you have all the muscles in the world. You are God's masterpiece. And so today we're going to talk about God's master plan, the master plan for a masterpiece. In Ephesians, the second chapter, 10th verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. I love what the Amplified Bible says about his workmanship. The Amplified Bible says, we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, he planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. We are God's own handiwork. You know, one of the things I saw is that word workmanship comes from the Greek word, poema, something like that. All right, I'm not a Greek scholar. But you know that same word is what we get the word poem out of? We are a poem of God. As a psalmist, as an artist gathers together and they bring their thoughts together and they write it out and they make a piece of art, they make something that lasts, they make something that emphasizes emotion. You and I are a masterpiece of God. We are a work of art from our Heavenly Father. Each and every one of us is God's own handiwork. It's not about your parents. It's not about your grandparents. It's not that your mom was Irish and your dad was Mexican. It's not about your bloodlines. It's not about any of that stuff. It's about the fact that you are God's own handiwork. And we've got to live with the perspective to know that God loves us. God created us. God formed us. The Bible says that God knew us before we were even conceived. Before we even came to life, God knew us. God knew the hairs on our head. God knew all about us. He pictured you and I in his mind and in his heart. And we are a work of art for him. So tonight, I've got four quick things, and then we're going to end with a really cool little video. Number one tonight is a master plan for a masterpiece. If you've got your Bibles, let's flip over to Hebrews in the 12th chapter. A master plan for a masterpiece. Number one tonight, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. In Ephesians, the second chapter, you don't have to put it back up, girls. Just leave it, point number one. But I was reading in the Amplified Bible. I just saw this just right now. Didn't even study that. It says that we may do the good things which God predestined. What? Planned beforehand. Number one, God has a plan for you. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we're going to look at a couple verses as we go about tonight quickly. Number one, God has a plan for you. If you look in the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The writer of Hebrews here equates our life, compares your and my, the course of our life, to a great race. He says, look, though that we run the race set before us, the race set before us, there's a plan, there's a track, there's a course. You and I may not know what that plan is yet. You and I may not know what the next turn holds for us in the course of our race, but God knows. God knows what's around the corner for your life. God knows where you came from, and God knows where you're going. And God has got a plan for each and every one of our lives. Now here the writer equates our lives to a race. He says, look, now that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he says, listen, you guys are surrounded by all of those that have completed the race beforehand before you. And now they're rooting you. Now they're watching you as you go about your race. And they're saying, listen, you can do it. You can do it. You can go for it. I've used this verse before, and I told you that if you equate, what is a cloud of witnesses? We think of little cherubim sitting on a little cute naked babies with wings sitting on a cloud looking down on us. But the Greek term for cloud In the day when they had stadiums in Greece and in Athens, and you think about the old Olympics when they used to compete naked.
Hello.
In our modern day terms, we use the term nosebleed seats when you go to the Dodger Stadium or when you go to the Staples Center. You sit up way at the top and you got to have binoculars to see who's even got the ball or what's going on. You call those, I got the nosebleed seats. That's a full stadium when the nosebleeds are full, right, from the top to the bottom. Then the term the cloud was the people who sat up in the nosebleed. It said, hey, your seats were up in the clouds. So you've got a stadium, you've got an auditorium full of people who have completed the race before you saying, ah, you can do it. It's just imagine the screams and the shouts for you to make it through your race. So the author says, listen, don't let us set aside the weight and the sin which easily ensnares us. So if God's got a plan for us, God's got a course for us. The author said, listen, he knows that, but there's some things that'll trip you up. Sin, the weights of this world, cast them aside. Don't think about them, but focus on the course. Focus on the plan, because God's got a course ahead of you. God's got a plan for each, mapped out for each and every one of you. And his plan may not be his plan. And your plan may not be your plan. But God's got a plan for each and every one of you. You say, Pastor Luke, how can God use me? God has got a plan for you. You are his masterpiece. We're talking about a master plan for a master piece. Are you guys with me?
Hello.
Number two, God set an example for you. Hebrews in the 12th chapter. Just looking down to the next verse, number two. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse number two. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We see this. I'm going to continue reading actually through verse number 3 to verse number 4. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your own souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving again in sin. Here we see God has got an example. He set an example for you. He gave you Jesus Christ, the most perfect being. I was just sharing with somebody today. You know what the most awesome thing about Jesus Christ is? He was the only perfect being. Nobody else. Nobody else was born of a virgin. Nobody else was God himself come to man to teach God, to teach man to be connected to God. Nobody else. So the beautiful thing is that we strive to be like Jesus. He is our only example. And the beautiful thing is that you and you and I, we are not like him in the sense that we were not born of God through a virgin. So we all mess up. It's okay. We're all at the same place. We all start at the same starting line, but we all have the same example, the same reason, the same course, the same purpose for us to run our race. Looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. I love this. In verse number 4, it's kind of, if you read it in the King James, it's hard to understand. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. What it's saying is, listen, you're looking at Jesus as the example. Look, you have fought for sin. You have fought against it all your life, yet you have not yet gotten to the point in resisting sin to the point where you've spilled your own blood for it. Yet the example that God gave us did just that. He spilled his own blood to fight after sin, to free you and I from sin. So the example of Jesus Christ comes before us, and he's done everything that you and I can do. He's done everything that we can. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ says that through the Holy Spirit, you will do far greater things in my name. He has given us the example, says, you can do this. You can raise the sick. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can cleanse the lepers. You can cast out the demons. You can do all that and more in my name through the Holy Spirit. God has given each and every one of us an example to follow. Why? Because we are his masterpiece. We are a work of art. He loved you enough to give you an example, to show you you can do this. You can do what he did. You can do more than what he did through the Holy Spirit in his name. Are you with me tonight? Number three, talking about a master plan for a masterpiece. Number three, God has an encouragement for you. God has an encouragement for me. How many of you know that when you run in a race, the author of Hebrews compares our life to a race. So let's look at running. Let me tell you this. I can't run.
Hello.
I tried running last Friday. As a matter of fact, I ran a block. And then I had to preach 4 services on the weekend. And by Sunday at 3 o'clock, I couldn't feel, what is this, my quads? Couldn't even feel them anymore for a block. Oh, my gosh. Couldn't run, man. Couldn't run. I got to get on the elliptical. How many of you know when we run a race, when we run, when we push our bodies, when we're pushing ourselves to the edge to get there, it's hard. We feel like giving up. We feel like we can't do it. Philip's the wrestling coach for Redlands. Philip, there's been times in a match where you feel like, I'm done. I can't do this. But you pull in and you grab a hold of it because you hear somebody, your coach saying, do this, do that, you can do this, roll over here. And you hear the coach, you hear the sidelines, you hear that great cloud of witnesses saying, you can do it, push harder, breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth and into the, and you can do it. You've got a cloud of witnesses. You've got an encouragement from God that says, you can do it. You can complete the race that was set before you. You guys with me? Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses number 5 through 7. Moving on in Hebrews. You have forgotten the exhortation. You have forgotten the exhortation. One translation says, you have forgotten the encouragement. That's a trip, because when we read what we're about to read, you say, what? You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. Remember, now you are adopted into the family of God. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse number seven, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what is a son whom a father doesn't chasten? He says, look it. You're going to see that as discipline. You're going to see this as a hard time. Just as a child to a father, who a father loves, if a kid goes and runs out into a street, and a dad who doesn't love his kid's going to say, psh, whatever. But God loves you enough to say, hey, woo, get out of the street. Smack you on the back of the head. He loves you enough to do what's best for you. But remember, it says you have forgotten this encouragement. Well, Pastor Luke, how does getting spanked by God sometimes. How is that an encouragement? Because God loves you. You know that those hard times, you know that those times of chastening, you know that those times of disciplining from God, those times where God is beginning to chisel away things in your life, beginning to remove things that hurt. Ouch! Like David in the slab of marble, like Michelangelo as he's cutting out a big old piece. Marble's not alive, but if that marble was alive, it would say, ah! He's doing it for the betterment of that. Because otherwise, it's just a big slab of marble. Otherwise, it's just a big rock. But as he cuts away things, as he begins to remove things, the waste, as he begins to do that, he says, I do this for your betterment. Because you were just a rock in some dirt, but now you're a masterpiece that will last centuries, that will last generations. Church, you are a masterpiece. Your legacy can last centuries, can last through generations. You, each and every one of us, you and I can impact the world because we are God's masterpiece. And God gave us an encouragement. He says, listen, I love you enough to chip away the things that are wasteful in your life. We see that as discipline. We see that as chastening. But the Bible says that who the Lord loves, he chastens. So there's an encouragement when things are being removed from your life. That pain, Pastor Luke, please. Or Pastor Luke, I say to God, please don't move that from my life. God says, I love you enough to do it. Listen to my command. Listen to my encouragement. This is for your own good. You guys with me? Last for tonight, really quick. God has a harvest for you. God has a reward for you. God has got fruit in store for you. God has got good things in store for you. God has got that gold medal at the end of the race in store for you. Each and every one of us, we're not racing each other, church. We got the gold medal. If we finish that race, that gold medal says, hey, well done, my good and faithful servant. Here's your gold medal. Boo. Booyah. God's got a harvest for you. In Hebrews, we're going to skip down to the 10th and 11th. Verse number 8 and 9 talk about those who don't receive the chastening of God as being illegitimate. Skipping down now to number 10, to those who do. Verse number 10 out of the 12th chapter. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best. He's talking about our earthly fathers. If our earthly fathers loved us enough to correct us as children so that we would grow up. He says, now they for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them. But he, capital H, speaking of God, for our profit, for our good, for our harvest, for our betterment, he for our profit. Where's my place? I just lost it. Oh, verse number 10. That we may be partakers of his holiness. Prophet, partakers. We got prophet for our betterment and partakers. We are receivers of his righteousness, of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields. It yields to the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. As a child, when your parents say, don't do this. Don't go there. Don't do drugs. Say, man, their parents are harsh. Those kids over there that are doing drugs are having fun. But now, you look back. You see what it's done to their lives. You see what it's done to their bodies. And you say, wow, I'm so glad I listened. You say, wow, I'm so glad God delivered me from that. I'm so glad that even if I did do it, that God chastened me enough and brought me from that to the place that I am now. And now that yields goodness. There is a harvest in our lives. There is goodness in our lives when we follow after God and we receive the correction, when we receive the chiseling, when we receive the chipping away, dink, 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 of the waste in our lives. You and I, church, are God's masterpiece. You and I are his work of art. You and I are not junk. I got a video for you. If you guys would draw your attention to the screens, let's check it out.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh, why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh, okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
Well, gave it away.
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running, I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust. Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
You see, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at that as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you. But maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
You're not junk. Let me say it like this. I know there's a funny video. If you grew up in a youth group, as a teenager, you wore your drama on your sleeve. You didn't know how to handle it. The Lord told me this morning when I was preparing this message, young adults, you and I, we're do good at making it look like we got it all together on the outside. But on the inside, we think we're junk. We're not junk. You are not junk. Though you may feel that way on the inside. And like he said in the video, that you try so desperately not to show on the outside that you got it all together, that you wear the right clothes, you listen to the right songs, and that you drive the right car, whatever it might be. Doesn't matter. Because it's what God says about you. It's not what society says about you. It's not what your family said about you. It's not what your parents said about you. It's not what your friends say about you. It's not what your job says about you. It's not what you say about you. It's about what God says about you. And God said, I love you enough to create you just the way you are. For a purpose, for a plan, to do something great, to be a work of art. First time I watched this, I won't lie, I cried like a baby. I cried like a baby. So you may say, Pastor Luke, I feel stupid because I'm sniffling right now. You're not junk. You are God's masterpiece. Here's what I want to do. was going to have discussion questions. I was going to do all that. But this is what I really feel led to do. I want you to be bold. If you feel in your heart, if you feel like through your lives, whatever it might be, that you're hanging on to baggage, that you've bought into the lie, I want to pray. I want to come before the Lord right now and just ask that God would touch you, God would touch me, to show himself strong in our lives, to show himself the master carver, the master artist, the master designer for our lives. That we wouldn't let society, that we wouldn't let culture, we wouldn't let our pasts, our families, our friends, our jobs, our schools define us and tell us what we are. Tell us that we are this when God says we are a masterpiece. If that's you, I want you to stand. Let's stand together. If that's you, if you need reassurance, you are a masterpiece. If you've got junk in your life, if you've got waste that God is chiseling away, extra space that God needs to chisel, who cares what people think? Who cares what anybody else says about your identity? Who cares what anybody else says about your look, about your life? You are a work of art. God made no two people alike. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you stand. It doesn't matter if you have muscles or you're skinny. It doesn't matter if you're large or small. It doesn't matter. God made you. And it's time for you, young adults, to shed the facade and to see yourself in the mirror for what God really says about you. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're not trash. You're not junk. You're not a waste. It's not too late. You are beautiful. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. When we pray, don't just pray. Don't just say, Pastor Luke, pray for me. Oh, I receive it, but give it to God. The Bible says to humble ourselves, submit to God, and in due time he will exalt us. Cast our cares upon him. First, church, we have to humble ourselves and we have to understand we don't hold the chisel. God does. To humble yourself and know that God's in control of your life. Cast your cares upon him. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your church. God, for your people. Lord, for your young adults. All of our lives, we've grown up with what people have said, with the scars and the words that have made us who we are today. God, we've carried that around for far too long. We've become masters of disguise in our lives and letting other people know, think that we have it all together. But God, the truth of the matter is, sometimes we look in the mirror and we despise the very person that we are. The truth of the matter is, God, you love us. Lord, you loved us enough to send your son to be an example, to be an encouragement, to show us, to prove to us your love. For so long we've listened to everybody else, but God, I pray tonight as we leave this house, Lord, that we wouldn't leave this place the same. Lord, that our eyes, our perspectives would change and we would look at ourselves in the mirror as we wake up. We wouldn't see the skin that we're in. We wouldn't see attributes of our face, but God, we would see the masterpiece that you've created in us. Each and every one of us, Father, you knew us before we were born. You called us for a time as today. You've set a plan for our life. God, we ask in this moment of our weakness, Father, in this moment of our insecurity, Father, in this moment of our openness to our hearts for you, Lord, we ask that you would begin to chisel away the rubbish of our lives. The dead weight that holds us down, that we would seek you, Father, that we would know as we wake up, as we breathe the air, as we look into the mirror, as we look at those around us, Father, that you have called us to be a masterpiece. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter like what we sound like. It doesn't matter about the decisions that we've made, Father, but you would come and step in and mold us and shape us and guide us and direct us into the path that you have called us to be your children. Lord, no longer would we have a facade. No longer, church, Lord, would your church pretend to be what we think you want us to be. But God, let us be what you have called us to be. Let us be what you have created us to be, Father. And that is your masterpiece. God, your work of art. Touch our hearts. Speak to us. God, give us comfort as you chisel away our past. As you chisel away our waste. As you chisel away our secrets that we think nobody knows, that nobody sees, but Father, you know them. God, break them away. Remove them away. Free us of our bondage and of our addictions. Free us of our thoughts and our insecurities so that we might look to you, God, and know you are God. You are in control. You are the master carver. You are the master designer of our lives, God. We lean on you, Father. Like that video said, never have we held you up. God, help us to open our eyes and see the perspective that you hold us up. Lamentations, your word says that your compassions never fail. Your mercies are never ending, Father. They're new every morning. God, I thank you as we wake up tomorrow morning and as we look at ourselves in the mirror, that we would see ourselves tomorrow for the first time the way you have called us to be, a work of art, one of a kind. Speak to us. Show us your plan. Jesus, mighty name. Jesus, mighty name. In Jesus, mighty name. Father, we give our hearts to you. We humble ourselves to you, Father. We lend ourselves to you that you might chisel us away and carve us to be your masterpiece. In Jesus' name, we give it to you. We give the past to you. We give the burdens to you. We let them go, Father, by humbling ourselves and releasing our control to you. So, Father, that you might help us to cast our cares upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. You are a masterpiece. When the world tells you else otherwise, when the world says that if you don't wear this deodorant, you stink, when the world says if you don't wear those clothes, you're not accepted, when society says if you don't drive that car, you're not successful, listen to the truth. Shed the voices around you. Shed everything else around you and listen to the truth. The fact that God said, you are a masterpiece. You are a work of art. No image, no sunset, no mountain, no painting can ever compare to the value that you hold in the eyes of God Almighty. You're priceless. Nay, you were bought with a price. The Son of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So remember that God loved you. He paid enough for you to know that you're valuable. You are valuable. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated.